The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They replied, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Boys, don't you have any fish?" "No," they answered. He told them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast the net out. Then they were not able to haul it in because of the large number of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard, "It is the Lord," he tied his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they stepped out on land, they saw some bread and a charcoal fire with fish on it. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter climbed aboard and hauled the net to land, full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, eat breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and also the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I care about you." Jesus told him, "Feed my lambs." A second time Jesus asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I care about you." Jesus told him, "Be a shepherd for my sheep." He asked him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you care about me?" Peter was grieved because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you care about me?" He answered, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I care about you." "Feed my sheep," Jesus said. "Amen, amen, I tell you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will tie you and carry you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading today is most of the last chapter of John's gospel. We are picking up today where the gospel reading from last week left off. Last week we heard how Jesus appeared to his disciples on the evening of Easter, and then 1 week later he appeared to Thomas. So the events that we heard about this morning have to have happened sometime between that 1 week after Easter and Jesus' ascension, which is 40 days after Easter. According to last week's reading, the disciples were still in Jerusalem, but now they've left Jerusalem and they've gone back to Galilee, to the Sea of Galilee. You heard Peter say to his fellows, "I'm going fishing." Now, this does not seem to be a leisurely fishing expedition. Peter and at least a few other of the apostles had fished for a living before Jesus called them to be apostles. And the text mentions that they went out fishing all night long. Now, maybe kids will gladly stay up all night long fishing, but these grown-ups probably had other plans. And they wanted to sell the fish that they caught. And their plans, however, came to nothing. Come dawn, they were still empty-handed. And then their fortunes changed. A fellow was there on the shore in the gray, misty morning. He's about 100 yards away, and he asks them if they have any fish. "No? Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some." And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Not only did they find some fish, but they caught a whole bunch of them. There's so many that they couldn't lift the net into the boat. Now, this almost certainly would have brought to these men's mind another bonanza that had happened a few years before this, perhaps almost like a flashback. A few years before this, Peter and his associates were still fishermen. They fished for a living. There was another night, while they were still fishermen, that they hadn't caught anything. And then the next day, Jesus is there on the shore with a whole crowd of people. And in order that Jesus should be heard by that whole crowd of people, he got into Peter's boat and put out a little from the land so that he could speak from that boat and it would reflect off the water and all the people would be able to hear him. When Jesus was done speaking, he told Peter to go out a little further into the deep and let down his nets for a catch. That didn't seem like a good idea to Peter at the time, but since Jesus told him to, he agreed. And as soon as the nets plopped into the water, they became so full that they started to strain and pop under the weight. His boat and James and John's boat were quickly filled up to the point where they even began to start to sink. Then Peter fell at his knees before Jesus and said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will no longer be catching fish. You will be catching men." Then when they got to shore, Peter and the rest left everything behind and followed Jesus. This is the way that Peter was called to be an apostle. So as you can see, something very similar happened again on this morning after Jesus rose from the dead. That the seven apostles had caught nothing all night, and then at Jesus' word, the net was filled completely. When Peter and the rest get to shore, Jesus already has breakfast prepared for them. There's already a fire that has been burning so that it is just coals. Fish had already been prepared and was on the fire, as well as bread. Jesus, though, tells Peter to also take some fish that they had caught, and so Peter goes and hauls in the huge catch of fish that you would think would make the net burst single-handedly. It doesn't tell us whether or how this fish was added to the meal. The next thing that Jesus says is, "Come and have breakfast." Then we have something again that might have caused a flashback. Jesus took bread and gave it to them as well as the fish. Now this might have brought to the disciples' mind another thing from the past. There were at least two prior occasions when Jesus fed a huge multitude with just a few loaves and some fish. I'm referring to the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. It seems to me that by this breakfast, Jesus is communicating something to these apostles. Things had, to be sure, radically changed for them. Their day-to-day activities were so different now compared to when before Jesus was crucified. It looks like Peter and the rest of them have gone back to their old livelihoods. But Jesus is showing them by this meal that while they worked hard all night and it all came to nothing, he already has a meal prepared. Jesus, who can feed multitudes, can also feed them. Then there's this conversation between Jesus and Peter. Jesus asks Peter if he loves him more than these. And by these, he's presumably talking about the other disciples. Does Peter love Jesus more than the other disciples? There are several things to point out about this exchange, but let's begin by noting how this also brings up something from the past. The very recent past, in fact. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, a couple things happened. The thing you can probably easily remember is that this is when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. But there was also on that night a discussion among the disciples over who was the greatest. Among all these, who was the greatest? When Jesus put his 2 cents in, he threw them all together in the same pot. He said, you're all going to betray me. You're all going to forsake me, as the scriptures foretold. But Peter, when he heard that, disagreed with Jesus on that night. He didn't know about the other disciples, but as for him, he would never forsake Jesus. Even if he had to die, he wouldn't leave Jesus. He loved them more than all the rest. Perhaps you recall Jesus' response to Peter on that night. He said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And so it came to pass, while Jesus was being interrogated and abused in the chief priest's house, Peter was outside by a charcoal fire. He was asked three times whether he was one of Jesus' disciples, and three times Peter denied it. In fact, the last time he even cursed and swore, "I blankety blank don't know the man." And then the rooster crowed. So when Jesus asked Peter at this shoreside breakfast whether he loved him more than the others, I have to believe that this rather painful and embarrassing episode was brought to Peter's mind. Now there's no bombast here at the shoreside. You can see that Peter is humbled. Peter no longer believed in himself and in the power of his own faith like he did on that night when Jesus was betrayed. He had learned by experience how weak he was, how he failed to watch and pray, how susceptible he was to temptation. Jesus asks three times whether Peter loves him, and there's no bragging on Peter's part. Let me say something about this exchange as far as the different words that Jesus and Peter use in this exchange with the question and response. Perhaps you noticed how the translation had Jesus say, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter responded, "Yes, Lord, you know that I care about you." Now, most translations do not do it this way because it sounds kind of harsh in English. In English, if somebody says that they love someone and then the other one responds, "I care about you," you know that there's a huge difference. That sounds much more dramatic in English than it actually does in Greek. So most translations say, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." The advantage, however, of the way that our translation did it is that it points out that there are two different words that are being used by Peter and Jesus. Jesus asks if Peter has agape love for him, and Peter responds that he has filial love for him. Now, the difference between agape love and filial love is not so huge. They can be used interchangeably. But notice how Jesus changes the word that he uses. So Jesus asks Peter, "Peter, do you have agape love for me?" And Peter says, "You know that I have filial love for you." And Jesus asks Peter, "Do you have agape love for me?" And Peter says, "You know that I have filial love for you." But then that third time, Jesus changes his word. He says, "Peter, do you have filial love for me?" And that's what hurts Peter's feelings, because he's said two times that he has filial love, and now Jesus asks him, "Do you have filial love for me?" Now, there's a questioning there that is perhaps even more humbling to Peter, where Jesus is saying, "Do you really love me? Or are you just being like it was before?" Now, there's one more part of this exchange that we also need to consider. After Jesus asks and Peter responds, Jesus follows that up with three similar sayings. Jesus, "Do you love me?" Peter, "Yes, Lord." Jesus, "Feed my lambs." Again, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." Jesus, "Be a shepherd to my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." Third time, "Feed my sheep." So if you put together these three sayings that are on the end, Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, be a shepherd for my sheep." and feed my sheep. The lambs or the sheep that Jesus is referring to are those who would believe the apostles' testimony about Jesus. They're Jesus' sheep. The way that these lambs or sheep are fed is by the word of God. So Jesus is telling Peter to bring the word of God to those who will believe in Jesus through the apostles. As you know, this is what Peter would go on to do. Beginning at Pentecost, Peter would fearlessly preach and teach that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, even to those who had put Jesus to death and had the authority to do the same thing to him. So, what are we to make of this whole exchange? And let me say this. I don't think I understand everything that's going on here as well as I'd like. Perhaps it's already somewhat confusing with the things that I've brought up, and believe me, there's other things that we could talk about. So, what could we sum this all up with? I think there's one thing I'd definitely like to point out, and I'd like you to note how different this morning is that is in our text compared to the night when Jesus was betrayed. Peter, on this morning, is low, whereas before he was very confident. Peter, it seems, is even thinking about giving the whole thing up, going back to his old profession. And so Jesus really kindly brings to mind his own faithfulness. So he reminds Peter that he will take care of him, that he will feed him, that they don't need to care about themselves because Jesus is able to feed multitudes. Peter doesn't charge ahead on this morning like he did on the night when Jesus was betrayed. He doesn't say that even if everybody else leaves him, he's going to be faithful. I mean, how could he? He had just proven that he wouldn't do that. Peter has been humbled, and his responses are humble. Nevertheless, note where Jesus directs his attention. Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. Peter is to do what Jesus has always intended him to do, and that is to preach and teach Jesus to the salvation of those who would believe. This has always been the intention. But there's quite a difference in Peter compared to the way he was before to the way he is this morning. The way that Peter is going to go about his work as an apostle is quite different, perhaps, this morning than on the night when Jesus was betrayed. It will be carried out humbly and with great weakness. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Peter felt great. He had never felt more powerful spiritually. He felt he could take on a whole army single-handedly, just with his trusty sword. But this was a false faith. It was a faith in oneself. And what ended up happening is that he denied Jesus just to a little servant girl. Peter does not feel nearly so good about himself early on this morning, sometime after Easter, but before Christ's ascension. It nevertheless is a much more properly directed faith. Peter's faith is no longer in himself. He's being directed to faith in Jesus, who won't let him down. Jesus encourages him. He sets him on his way, and Peter will feed the sheep of the Good Shepherd. However, it won't be with the bravado and harshness that he would have otherwise if he was not someone who had fallen. Instead, it will be properly one sinner telling another sinner where they can have forgiveness and life and peace, and that is in Jesus. Now, this will turn out much better than what Peter was previously thinking about. Realize that the gospel and sacraments are Jesus' gospel and sacraments. They're his ministry. They're not Peter's ministry. They're not any other person's ministry. Whenever a Christian starts to rely upon his or her own gifts, like Peter relied upon his, that Christian is getting ready to fall, because that's not a very stable thing to trust in. The Christian who relies on Jesus, however, is one who has properly and firmly planted. But in order for that to happen, very often we have to be humbled, and humbled even in a painful way, like Peter was. Christians are not in the business of making other people just like them. Christians are in the business of urging others to believe in the same Jesus that the speaker believes in. That is the true and saving message. Now, one last thing from our reading. Jesus tells Peter that one day what he feared on the night when Jesus was betrayed is actually going to happen. Peter, on that night, was afraid to suffer and die for Jesus' sake. That's why he denied him. Well, there's another opportunity that's going to come. Peter is going to be asked about Jesus, and Peter, this time, is not going to fall. He's not going to fail. He's going to confess his Lord. He's going to be faithful unto death and will receive the crown of glory. He will indeed be carried where he does not want to go and will be nailed upon a cross. And that is the death by which he will glorify God. We are cut from the same cloth as Peter. We're of the same flesh and blood. We have the same predispositions. We much prefer to believe in ourselves than to believe in the Lord. It feels much better to rely upon ourselves than to rely upon our Lord. But we need the same lessons as Peter does, that when we're brought low, that we come to rely on things that won't fail, not of ourselves, but the faithfulness of our God. We have the same Jesus that Peter relied on, who is also there for us. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.